Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey, C Church, Gus Bird here. Welcome to More Than That, where we like to take some time and dive a little deeper into the last Sunday's sermon. I'm sitting here with
Rafael Ganza.
Very, very nice, sultry voice there, Raf. Thank you for that. This last Sunday's sermon was from Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, I'd encourage you to go back and do so, because this podcast will be based on that, so it'll help fill in some gaps if there are any. But Pastor Rafael, the question that we ask every podcast is, if you had 10 more minutes to speak to your church, what might you say?
Maybe, so if I had a couple of more just minutes, I probably would dive in. So we looked at, I kind of zoomed out yesterday and went back to Exodus chapter 3:11 and came back into chapter 4, just looking at like all the objections that you see Moses having when it comes to God, because God shows up and he says, hey, I want to send you. This is what I want you to do, and you're part of that plan. And then as soon as Moses gets to know that he is part of that plan, he comes up with 5 objections, and those objections was, who am I objection? And then the second one was, who are you? Mm-hmm. Which is almost like really asking God for his credentials in some way.
Right.
And then so chapter 4, verse 1, you see, now the what if they don't believe, which is, and then God really responds to that, gives them the signs, and then later on he's gonna say, but I really don't have what it takes. I don't have the speaking ability. I'm not eloquent and all that. He says his speech is sluggish, but God says, hey, I will help you. And then I think the last objection is when he says, God send someone else. But God really presses in and says, no, I didn't make a wrong choice. I'm sending you. So what I probably would have spent more time doing is going even a little bit more into those objections. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did this like where I spent some time saying, this is like in all these objections you see, our own objections, our objections when it comes to God calling us, because like through just this picture, you get to see how God works. He works through agents of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. He works through us, that the church always is in between this God who is reaching out with his grace and mercy and his reconciliation and healing, restoration, and what he has done at the cross. And then the church always stands in between as bridging the gap between God and the people that are hurting. But then it's usually our objections, our doubts, and our, I don't know if I can say excuses, but like, so some of these sound like excuses.
Right.
Excuses, but I feel like excuses almost like is a little bit more, because like these are legit, some of them are very legit questions. If I say excuses, then I'm not grateful for Moses bringing this up, because he's also showing us a picture of humanity. I feel like I've had to deal with all these things, and sometimes I've dealt with them as excuses, mm-hmm. but sometimes I've dealt with them as legitimate fears. So if I had really time, I would have had to go in a little bit more as in like, what if these are legitimate fears for you? Mm-hmm. How would you then deal with them? But then also if these are just, they can become just simple excuses.
Right.
Well, I just can't do that. I'm not good enough in speaking. But then all of them are actually answered with God saying, replacing Moses' I with, I will help. I will be with you. I will. And so, and then also just to really dive into just some of the ways we get to be so good at not doing what God is saying we need to do as a way of objecting to what God is calling us to. Because like it's so easy to get very good at, yeah, but I do not, like, so for example, the first one was like, they will not believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's so easy to really just get to like, it's almost like I've had those moments where God says, hey, you need to really extend, you just need to reach out to this person, work with them and all that. And then if they reject me once, then I'm just like, well, I told you they won't believe. And then so therefore, it's just almost like then I don't have that long suffering within that obedience. Or what I would say, when you're watching God's goodness and mercy pursuing us, like, mm-hmm. I don't have, what I would rather say, the patience, which is where I ended up at yesterday, that mm-hmm. like, no, they won't believe becomes an excuse of actually not going to the Holy Spirit to say, give me love, give me joy, give me patience, mm-hmm. to be able to stay long in the mission field God has sent me to.
Right.
So we do like almost like it becomes, we get good at drive-by evangelism to validate, like, yeah, I told you they won't believe. But if you really look at chapter 4 of Exodus, the indictment is to Moses, because the last verse of chapter 4 is like, and they believed.
Hmm.
Right? It's like, okay, all right, so maybe you don't, it's cool to see this God of the universe saying, okay, all right, so let me give you a couple of miracles in order for that. And then so I just felt like that was like, just point number one could have been a sermon on its own.
Yeah.
Just like, they won't believe, okay. And God gives us the miracles. And I think I boiled it down to saying that, like, you and I are given testimonies, and that's a big sign on its own,
mm-hmm.
that we always look for this spectacular, you know. I came from a denomination, like just a strand of Christianity, that was so obsessed with seeing the miraculous, that literally like salvation wasn't looked at as the greatest miracle of them all, mm-hmm. right? Or even that we took leaps and bounds over just jumped over, hey, your good works and your persistence in being a good neighbor is also as well, like, it's just a miracle on its own, because most of our world is so inwardly focused, right? And when they see, because have you ever served someone and then they look at you, at first they're like, yeah, I see what you're doing, I appreciate it, but you're probably going to give up on me here very soon. You do it again, you do it again, you do it again. And eventually they're like, hold on, you're here to stay, aren't you? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I think that actually then becomes like one of the most amazing ways, if you're being compelled by the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
which is now where your 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for the love of Christ compels us.
Mm.
it's almost like you can either be rowing the boat or you have the love of God propelling you as that, you know, when you have that electric boat, like yeah. propelling you, like it's, you go further.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, so I would have gone a little bit more into how these excuses, objections, and doubts flesh themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, and then so even when we get to like, I cannot speak. And then you see Moses actually eventually, he can speak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like he has to discover he can speak through him being obedient to the God. And it's almost like he also gets to see that God really does help him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you get to discover that God can help you by going even in the midst of your fears. You've preached before.
Yeah.
You preach. Half the times, do you go in there like just fully confident, I'm going to knock this thing out of the park?
No.
And it's like, but what a lot of people don't know is that sweet communion that happens. Have you ever had those moments where you're preaching and you're like, I don't know where that came from,
yeah.
but wherever that came from, more, please, God. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and I just like, and I've gotten to discover that. And then, obviously, like right now, and even going deeper into the whole, you know, in maybe in counseling, they call it the imposter syndrome. Like of just like maybe thinking, I'm not the person for the job. I'm not the person for the job. One of these days, they're really going to discover that I'm not qualified. And then actually then going and self-sabotaging. Yeah. Like, and I see that in Moses, but like, I wish I could have just dived in a little bit more. But you see, that would have literally been, just by us even just diving into this, that's already five messages out of this, like in terms of like, hey, you know, the who am I question. Like you look inside, you see failures, you see disappointments and all that stuff, and all of a sudden you don't go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and at least everything hinges on the who are you question. And mm-hmm. so I ended up with saying that, like, I think what we need to do is be a people who immerse ourselves in knowing who God is, because almost every objection is answered with, I will, I will, mm-hmm. I will. So, I could have gone
five different directions.
Yeah, like just really seriously. Yeah. Like it just, because I see that, you know, you and I are mm-hmm. fathers. We're mm-hmm. husbands. We, you know, we're pastors. And when I look at all those, most of the times it's almost like there are ways in which, even though I am, there are ways in which I still do functionally do kind of, like in subtle ways do say somebody else should do this
mm-hmm.
without actually abdicating. But really at the end of the day, if you work it down,
yeah.
if you work it down, I'm really abdicating my responsibility. So yeah, so somebody said that like yesterday when after the church we were talking and he was like, you know, I realize I'm so good at making and at justifying my objections
mm-hmm.
in such a way then that I feel good about my objections.
Right.
But then I really, really, really feel bad because I realize I didn't fulfill what God has called me to. And he was saying this like that. And in our conversation, we really just like got to the point where it's like, okay, so, but what are some of the ways we then, maybe we try to really find ways to suppress these objections or, and that's where things like maybe addictions come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe binge watching TV or,
yeah.
Or even things like pornography or whatever it is, like, your drug of choice, your shopping, your
yeah.
like things that at least will validate that at least you are still someone, but you know deep down you're still running away. You're still empowering your objections.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's what I love about this passage. God doesn't tell Moses to to shut up, or like he doesn't deny his objection or invalidate it. He's like, okay, I get you.
Yeah.
Let me encourage you. Like it's again, God giving license to expressing how we feel.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's God. He had every right to say, hello.
Yeah.
I know you have a speech problem, or I know all your flaws. Be quiet and let me use you. But he is gentle, and he like approached him in that way. And really, he doesn't invalidate his excuses.
Yeah, it's and even realizing that, like, it says he burns with anger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's after 5 excuses. Like, that's, like, after 5 objections. Yeah. Like, and really, at the end of the day, his anger is not even... It's really when Moses is saying, no, I'm the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Like, but yet you get to see, which is actually the bigger picture of Exodus, is that you do not read Exodus and never discover a God who's slow to anger like our God.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, and who is very gracious, like with his people. But yet, it's in there. I mean, this is a whole other topic as well. In there, in watching chapter 4, you get to understand a little bit more of why God even gets to say to Moses, you can't make it to the promised land. Because like it's like after walking journeys and signs,
mm-hmm.
and Moses gets mad later on and detailed it just like, he tries to actually grab things when God said, I will help you. Hey, listen, strike that rock.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You can wait. Water is coming. But he ends up just whacking the rock. And just like, and God is like, you lost your temper there, buddy. Like,
yeah.
And so therefore, that was a sign of like, you are not really trusting me. And of which, so at the end of the day, Exodus is going to help you to see how unbelief and doubts and objections and call it excuses can be like weeds that mm-hmm. you need to probably like dandelions that you need to daily work at really killing them, or else they're going to choke you out of
mm-hmm.
what God is calling you to do.
Right.
Yeah. Because those things usually stand up. And they literally like, the beauty of my grass, man. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, and again, he, even after Moses did that.
Yeah.
You know, he could have, you know, what's the past tense of smote? He could have, you know, destroyed him right there. Yeah. But yet, you know, how much more time does he get in with his people? And he still deals with him. You know, we're for our leadership development, we're reading that book, Gentle and Lowly.
Yeah.
And how people often look at the Old Testament God as a separate, different God.
Yeah, yeah.
And they miss how patient and gentle he was, and they miss the parts where, you know, he was driven to anger. You know, it's not his natural his natural posture to be angry.
Yeah,
he's driven to that point.
Mm.
And not only, you know, it took 5 times for God to get angry at Moses.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was.
That's good.
So, yeah, it's really. I think this passage really speaks to the, you know, like father like son picture. Jesus. If you've seen Jesus, you have seen the Father.
Yeah, yeah.
So, hey, that's good. So, with the time we have remaining, we did get a couple questions from our church, specifically from one of our youth, which was really great to see.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we'll just like to take a few minutes here and answer a few of them. So, let's see. Was one of the questions was the third sign more of a warning? So what was the third sign? She's
yeah. So the first sign is Moses throws down the staff and it becomes. So it's like that really just God has the power to transform. Then you see the power to renew when he puts his arm inside his cloak and then he comes out leprous, with leprosy. And then the third sign was getting water and then the water turning to blood,
mm-hmm.
And then obviously, that becomes the very first plague.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's actually turning water into blood, becomes almost like a challenge to, obviously the sustaining Nile is a sustenance for Egypt. But that was a sign that was first also for the Jews, for the Hebrew community.
Right.
So it was the third sign. So it was also like just like where you, that's where now you see either the salvation judgment picture,
mm-hmm.
like where, and I think John 3:16 is probably the best way to illustrate it. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, like that whosoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. So there's almost like that, like believe God sent Moses, right? And in fact, John 3 is actually going to be told in the context of Exodus, really. Believe Moses, and then you will not perish. But if you don't believe Moses, mm-hmm. then you actually share in the same fate as, because this is the first sign of judgment towards Pharaoh. And then we see that later on, where to those that didn't believe, for example, the plague of the hailstones, mm-hmm. and all that. To those that didn't believe, they left their slaves outside, they left their livestock outside, and the hailstones came just like hail came and destroyed even them too. So it's those that believed that actually were spared. And so you're seeing that as a warning even to God's own people, that mm-hmm. like, hey, if you do not believe, then you probably will be treated in the same way as those that do not believe. So that's actually now when you come New Testament, there's now no longer Jew nor Gentile, mm-hmm. Greek or, you know what I mean? Like there's no Jew nor like no Gentile, Greek or, you know, slave or free or whatever it is. Everyone now has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there is a way in which even throughout the book of Exodus, you see that God is actually also interested in Egyptians knowing mm-hmm. him too.
All right.
So.
That's good. Yeah, I like that. You know, I said in my sermon how the book of John and Exodus kind of parallel each other. And so I like that touch on there too with John 3:16.
Yeah, it's ever since you mentioned that, like, it's like now all my bills are just like, oh wow, that is like even just with the, what's the first sign?
Mm-hmm.
What's the first plague? Like right to the, what's the first sign Jesus does? Mm-hmm. Turns water into wine. Like you're looking at that and like you're,
yeah, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, it sounds so familiar, but. It just makes me really realize the Old Testament is so important.
Yep.
And not only just the Old Testament, this time I'm realizing Exodus is literally like so, so important. I am so glad I read that as the first, like right after I got saved, because
mm-hmm.
I was attracted more from, I was attracted to Exodus just at chapter 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I didn't get to 4 quite a lot, but just really with the God saying, let my people go kind of stuff, you know?
Nice. I think we have time for one more question. Why didn't God prepare more signs than that?
I mean, I would say that he, like when it came to the people of Israel, so he prepared three signs, right, mm-hmm. for the people of Israel, and obviously he could have, I mean, he's God, he could have had more signs. I think obviously like all the plagues and all that stuff is all signs that God had, but like when it came to those three signs, when I kind of just dug a little bit deep, there is also a way in which God is declaring himself to be to his people. Those three signs, like, so the snake,
mm-hmm.
the snake is a challenging to the emblem of Egypt itself.
Right.
Like, if you were to actually, like, I don't know whether you guys do this, like, here, the emblem of, like, the, you know, the symbol is the right. eagle, right?
Yeah.
Is the eagle. Like, where it's almost like there's a way in which, actually, you guys do this, like, when the president has landed, what do you say?
The eagle has landed.
The eagle has landed. Like, and it's just like, can you just imagine if you were to go back to the time when these people are suffering, what are they saying, like, about actually, like, when they're seeing, like, when they're seeing Pharaoh pass by, oh, the cobra is here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's Cobra Commander. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
nice.
The cobra is here, the cobra. So there's a big statement that God is making there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to defeat the cobra. Let me show you how I do this.
Yeah.
Like, and then you see what I mean? Like, and so that was the first sign. So for the children of Israel, obviously, it's almost like, what? You can defeat the cobra? And then so when Moses picks up that, it's almost as if like, okay, all right. And then what about when it comes to, you know, here they are wounded, broken. Some of them, you know, if we sometimes kind of cheapen slavery,
mm-hmm.
at least read Fred Douglas's biography. And when, for example, he's talking about like this woman who's getting beaten to the point that he's seeing like, but like now go back to Egypt and see what slavery looked like at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You would see that, like, number one, Israelites are treated as outcasts. So leprosy, they're treated as outcasts, but at the same time, they have 400 years worth of wounds,
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff, and God has promised to renew, and they see that happening. Obviously, that was meant to boost up their faith.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting, because I don't think it's actually recorded where Moses has to do the third sign. Like, it's, I think he does those first two. Like, the third sign, I don't know, like, maybe I might be wrong. Maybe he does it, but, like, at least, like, those are enough for people to believe, because the third sign is actually now an indictment, too.
Right.
So
would you say that, answer the question is, why did God do more than one sign? Or was there more of a purpose to those?
There was a purpose to those signs. But okay. Then at the same time, I think we have to kind of jump in now into Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time when signs, in fact, I would actually say that there is a time where, do you remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus?
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Obviously, because you named your son Lazarus. Like, right?
I don't know that Lazarus, but yeah, I got you.
Yeah, you named your son Lazarus, and you probably debated, I don't want my son to be a beggar, but he could be the one that, you know. But anyway, so you remember what does God say to the rich man when he says that, like, please,
mm-hmm.
please just send, I think he says, send Lazarus to go to my brothers or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And even Jesus says that they won't even believe.
Yeah.
When, even if, a dead, and Jesus was actually saying that, like, he was even kind of talking even into the future of saying that, like, listen, even if I've resurrected from the dead, there's still someone who's still gonna push back. And then so I think there's only three miracles, because miracles on their own are not enough to believe. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, they will authenticate, just as much as they authenticated the Gospels, like Jesus coming. But eventually the Pharisees come and they say they need a sign. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says in I think in Matthew 12, he eventually says, no, you're not getting any more signs. You've seen me do all these other ones, and they've still not been enough.
Yeah,
I'm not doing any more. There's only one sign I'm going to give you, though. The resurrection.
Right.
So eventually there's a time when signs. So I think at the end of the day, when we look at this, it just. Why didn't he prepare more? I think eventually, like, God just didn't want to be their perpetual magician.
Right.
In order just to eventually you have to either believe or reject.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. There's still an element of faith. That's good.
Which is no longer, it's not faith. It's actually not faith in the signs themselves.
Yeah.
Because the signs were meant to point to the to God himself. So, and we know that, like, God did all these signs. And what do they do right after that? They still go ahead and they build a cult. They still... Yep. Like, at least Exodus helps you realize that, listen, man, signs are just not enough.
Right.
Eventually, you would have to really go beyond the signs to the person himself, which is God. So.
Yeah. It's like, I like the word sign because it's not the thing itself it points to. So it's like, who are you? Well, here's my driver's license. No, who are you? Here's my birth certificate.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Like, how many forms of identification are you going to need before you
do? Yeah, that's good.
All right. Yeah, well, thanks, Raph. I really appreciate the time. Dig a little deeper. To our church, if there is any questions that you have off of the sermon coming up, after you listen to the sermon on Sunday, we'll have a link on Church Center on the homepage. So go ahead and click that, fill in the form, and we'll try to get into our podcast. So again, if you have a question, look for the form on Church Center. And we appreciate your time, Raph. Thank you for taking the time to dig a little deeper. And Siri, too, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
So again, this is Gus Bird and Raphael. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us.